This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Paul Lemming, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How are you doing today, Paul? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a very good weekend, Bill. Mondays are interesting because it means not only Better Call Paul with you at 1 o'clock, but it means Better Call Saul at 9 o'clock. So, always a good day when that's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got the whole plethora of stuff happening. So we were asking listeners, and I'll ask you, is this on paper now the best offense in the National Football League?
I wish I was, incredibly intimately familiar with the rest of the league as much as I am the Packers, but I'll take it at a base value and say, how many teams can say they have a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers? I think the only team who can legitimately say they are in that conversation on a consistent basis are the Patriots. I think certainly last year Falcons fans would say Matt Ryan is just as good or was better than Aaron Rodgers was last year from start to end of the year. So let's at least include him there. But Matt Ryan is hasn't had the career arc yet that Aaron Rodgers had, and certainly not what Tom Brady has had. Granted, Brady has time on his side. He's had a longer period of time to prove it. So it always starts with the quarterback. So how many other teams can really claim a quarterback as much as the Packers can? From a wide receiver group, the Packers don't have their Julio Jones, like what Matt Ryan has to work with, but they have a plethora of guys, especially once you start including Martellus Bennett into that pass-catching group, and Ty Montgomery as a pass-catching running back out of the backfield. A lot of teams could do a heck of a lot worse than a Jordan Nelson, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, Martellus Bennett mix. And so from that perspective, yes, there's not that one Julio Jones guy, but it's a great collective group of receivers and tight ends, running backs catching the ball. Offensive line, I think if you would have, if we'd have been saying this conversation a year ago, and it, this is an offensive line that at that point would have included T.J. Lang and Josh Sitton, I would have said probably only Dallas has an offensive line better on paper than what the Packers had at that point. But now, year two of Lane Taylor, who, of course, it needs to be continually pointed out, doesn't have the reputation of Josh Sitton, but was a darn good football player in 2016 and stepped up to the plate when called upon. Now the Packers need another guy to do that, and in this case probably Jari Evans, to step in for T.J. Lang. And let's see if the Packers still have as good of an offensive line. But, again, there's not that Julio Jones. But for the most part, I think the Packers, from a well-rounded perspective, maybe there's some names you could throw at me, Bill, to kind of help tease the point a little bit or to bring some other names in the conversation. But, man, if it's not a top-three offense, I don't know where it would rank if it's not top-three.
I agree with you about Matt Ryan. I don't know if he's going to have the sustained success in back-to-back years that they expect out of him in Atlanta. The other guy to kind of throw into the mix is how good of a year, how much better could he get as Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott and that combination, and obviously behind that offensive line, they're bringing Jason Witten back to another contract, and he's been a key cog down there, and it certainly looks as if they've added, with the depth that they have offensively, when you talk about the weaponry, they added to that wide receiving core on top of what they already have in a lethal Dez Bryant. I mean, going out and drafting some speed, bringing in different guys to be able to fortify that wide receiving core, I think they're very, very solid. So my question then becomes, how viable is the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to their offense and what they've got going? When you look at, because remember, they brought in Ryan Switzer, Noah Brown they ended up drafting this year. They have Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, who has been really, really solid for them. Terrence Williams. I mean, they've got probably, what do they have, like 9 wide receivers on this team now, something like that?
Yeah, Dallas is interesting. Kind of like it's, when a rookie quarterback has a good year, like what Dak Prescott had, especially at the quarterback position, you're going to want to see more. I mean, at least I am. I'm going to want to see more before anointing too high of praise and considering him in the top 10 quarterback conversation. I don't think he should be in the top, for sure not the top 8 quarterback conversation after 1 year, probably not even top 10. we could go through a list. And it's because part of the quarterback position is sustained success. I think, you know, a year ago, let's go back and say, what a conversation a year ago, we would have said, how can you not include the Carolina Panthers offense in that conversation and then Cam Newton in the top quarterback conversation? Then you fast forward a year and you say, okay, you know, is Cam Newton more of what he was in 2015, where he was unstoppable, or more of what he was in 2016, which was, you know, okay, good, not great. So that's kind of the hard part about quarterback, which is what makes the Dak Prescott conversation a tough one to have, because you have a small sample size right now. And, you know, when you have an offensive line as good as Dallas's, you shouldn't have to preface that and say, well, if any quarterback could have come in and had it. That's not true. I mean, Dak deserves a ton of credit. Ezekiel Elliott clearly looks like, and I definitely trust a running back more to have sustained success at an early stage of his career, especially when he is behind an offensive line that good. But, you know, Dallas is going to be an interesting team. Can you actually improve upon, even if they're 13-3 again, can they look as mighty as they were? Or now that they're sort of the known team, you know, a known where he's like, oh, okay, now we have to face Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line and Dak Prescott. It's harder. It's sometimes easier for a team to climb up the mountaintop than stay there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the challenge this year, where I don't want to say, like, every time Dallas faces a team, you know, they're not the bullseye team this year. The Falcons are the bullseye team this year, where every team that faces them is going to give them their A game, just like what the Packers found out in 2011 when they went 15-1. And every year and every week, the Packers, with the exception of when they went to Kansas City in week 14, the Packers still brought their best despite having the bullseye on their back. But I still think with the regular season that the Cowboys had last year, they're going to get a lot of that this year, where now they are the known team, they are the known guys. And it'll be tough, not undoable, but tough for all of those young players to ascend and to have as good of years as they had, especially when I think that defense took a bit of a hit this year. So if you're weaker defensively, you know, can you control the clock as well as you did a year ago? Because they have some rebuilding stuff to do in their defensive backfield.
Going back to the whole thing with the Dallas Cowboys, though, this is the question. This was posed to me yesterday, and I'm gonna kind of throw this out there. Will Dak Prescott be the next quarterback, or will he end up being Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. When Kaepernick took over for Alex Smith that year, and the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, and wasn't that the year the Super Bowl all the lights went out, right, when they were playing Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
But that whole year, it was, you know, it was Kaepernick crazy, and he was, you know, he was unstoppable from that perspective. And it's, I mean, when you're a quarterback and you have success early in your career, and I know it's different because Dak Prescott, because of Tony Romo's injury, stepped in and had to be the guy, you know, pretty much from the start of that season for Dallas, whereas Kaepernick started week 8, maybe, what, week 10? Well, I'm trying to remember what week of that 2012 or 2011, 2013 season that Colin Kaepernick came in. But it was like mid-season, you know what I mean? And he kind of got to take the league by storm a little bit. So I don't know where Dak Prescott falls. I mean, I don't want to just, like, pass on the question, but I think he has a ton of talent. He has an outstanding running back to make things easier on him. He has an outstanding offensive line to make things easier on him. And I don't think that Colin Kaepernick quite had those pieces to make his life a bit easier. So, I mean, I don't put it this way, Bill. I don't know if Dallas is 13-3 type again, but if they are anything worse than 9-7, I think it would be a big surprise. So you're either way, you're talking about, at the worst case, a very competitive NFC team in Dallas, if not, once again, a very good NFC team in Dallas.
Paul, good stuff, and we will chat again coming up on Wednesday once the veterans and the rookies all mix and mingle and we have something something further to discuss.
Yeah, it'll be cool, Bill. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Enjoy Better Call Saul tonight.
You know that Joe and I will.
Yeah, there you go. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.